Also discovered that the brain chemical dopamine mediated the alcohol's effect on male-male courtship. When dopamine was temporarily blocked, males only courted females even with daily alcohol consumption. When dopamine was returned to normal, drunk flies courted more frequently and to any fly they saw, male or female. Scientists will now try to test whether dopamine and alcohol work the same way in humans as they do in flies. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by Sue Ann Zollinger with help from Laura Hurley in biology. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. To get podcasts, click on the podcast button. For a moment of science, I'm Don Glass.
WILL programming is made possible by Tires Plus Total Car Care, located at Prospect and Market View in Champaign. Tires Plus provides complete car repair and maintenance. More information is available at 366-3201.
In sports, the U.S. picked up 5 medals in track and field at the Beijing Games today, including a sweep in the men's 400 hurdles. And China's single greatest hope for the Olympics is over. The highlight of the Games was supposed to be hurdler Liu Zhang defending his Athens gold. But Liu suddenly dropped out of the qualifying heats after an injury. His surprise exit left fans stunned and tearful. NPR's Frank Langfitt reports from Beijing.
Liu Zhang entered the bird's nest to a hero's welcome. But as he crouched down in the starting blocks, he was clearly in trouble. He grabbed his knee and grimaced. When the gun went off, for the 110-meter hurdles, he limped out of the blocks. It was a false start, but it was obvious Liu was hurt. Then, before the next start, he walked out of the stadium. When the announcer explained Liu was out of the race, the crowd sagged. Liu Zhang's gone, said 9-year-old Peng Yinhang. His mother, Fan Wei, an accountant in nearby Hebei province, captured the feelings of many.
Yes, I am very disappointed. We are all waiting for him to win a gold medal. What is wrong? And I don't know what happened. What a pity, what a pity. Everyone is leaving. Without him on the track, we are all leaving because we came here just because of him.
At a news conference later, Chinese coaches were in tears. They said Liu had re-aggravated an old injury to his right foot and Achilles tendon. Feng Shaoyong, general coach of China's athletic team, said Liu was devastated.
I've just met Liu Zhang outside, and Liu was very sad. And he said, I would never pull out of the race unless I had no other choice.
Feng also noted that Liu had a lot to live up to as one of China's top Olympic stars. During these 4 years, he's gone through great expectations and great pressure. The word for pressure in Chinese is ya li, and outside the bird's nest, you heard it from fans over and over again. Some people thought China had put too much of it on Liu Zhang. Han Li Liu grew up in Beijing. She now lives in Texas, and she came back for the games. As Liu entered, people cheered Jiayou, which means go in Chinese. Han said that was too much.
When people were cheering for him, I said they should not do that until he finishes, because that really gave him a very hard, I think, larger pressure than even he has already gotten.
China has other stars, like NBA center Yao Ming, but Liu held a special place in these games. He was golden in a sprint event, something the West has dominated. Speaking with her husband, Anqi, outside the bird's nest, Han said Liu's success was symbolic.
This is really showing that China is strong not only for
other sports,
yeah. Water jumping, how do you say?
Diving.
All of those things. So that's why this is so important, that if he's quitting, it's very disappointing.
On China's blogs, the response was mostly positive. Liu Zhang, it's okay. We support you, wrote one person on a forum linked to Liu's website. But some were critical. Liu Zhang is a loser, another wrote. Did you see your fans' faces in the bird's nest when you withdrew? How well Liu would have actually done if healthy is uncertain. He was no longer the favorite here. Cuba's Deron Robles had broke Liu's world record in June. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Beijing.
In other news from Beijing, the U.S. has struck gold in equestrian team jumping for the second straight Olympics, getting clear rounds from its first 3 riders in the jump-off against Canada. That's a look at sports. Big TV networks are watching their overall ratings go down, even as cable audiences are growing. And cable has been featuring an increasing number of dramas, comedies, and hit reality shows. The USA Network is leading the pack as the number one cable channel. The person who has made this happen is Bonnie Hammer. She runs USA as well as the Sci-Fi Channel and the studio that produces a lot of their original programming. NPR's Kim Masters has this profile.
There are hundreds of channels to choose from on television these days, so which one is the USA Network? If you know, that's a victory for Bonnie Hammer. If you don't, USA has a pretty eclectic mix. From wrestlers on WWE Raw... mild-mannered, obsessive-compulsive detective, Monk.
That's a new rug. Don't just stand on it. You have to keep moving.
Moving?
So it doesn't wear out in one place.
Oh, you mean like this?
Maybe wider circles.
Okay, I'm just going to stand over here.
Like other cable channels, USA still runs old movies and repeats. But USA also has come up with an extraordinary string of original hits. Monk, Psych, In Plain Sight, Burn Notice, and Law & Order Criminal Intent. And a new program based on last year's successful miniseries, The Starter Wife, will premiere in October.
It's over. You give it your best shot.
My best shot? I work 24/7 making sure that Kenny Kagan never has to remember or do anything that he doesn't want to do, and I do it all with perfect hair!
These hit shows make USA the number one channel in cable. Bonnie Hammer is the one who got it there. She took over in 2004, having already produced results at the Sci-Fi Channel with shows like Battlestar Galactica. One of her first moves at USA was giving the network a stronger brand identity.
We wanted a place that didn't feel, as research had told us, yeah, USA is predictable, but it kind of feels like a nicely worn-in old shoe.
Hammer wanted USA to stand for something in the minds of viewers. That meant a new logo and a new tagline.
USA, characters welcome.
Characters welcome may be vague, but Hammer says it helps define original programming on the network.
Is there a central character? Is this character slightly flawed but upbeat? We wanted it to be blue skies, not frothy necessarily like Baywatch, but to have an upbeat aspirational tone.
Hammer says having this filter helps her executives come up with shows that are right for USA.
Once we had parameters, the projects that were coming in were better because people weren't just accepting pitches from everyone about anything. They could judge good writing, but they had no idea whether it was going to fit.
They've won pretty much every quarter in primetime. They've won every year. They're at the top of the cable ratings heap day in and day out.
Journalist Anthony Krupe is with the trade publication Media Week. He says the big challenge now is figuring out how to keep it up. Hammer knows how easy it would be to make a mistake. Her executive team may be high on the network's ratings success and yet a little low on self-esteem. When Emmy nominations were announced recently, rival AMC picked up 16 nominations for the critical darling Mad Men, an edgy period piece about ad men in the 60s. Mad Men's low ratings would be unacceptable on USA, but 16 nominations for just one show. USA squeezed out four. For all of its shows.
What USA, what I call the kids at USA, really want is the numbers that we get, but want to be embraced like Mad Men was embraced.
And those urges can lead to risky behavior. Journalist Anthony Krupe.
There's always the danger in TV that anytime you have success, you tinker with the formula. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them throwing more money at more A-list personalities.
Hammer isn't necessarily opposed to chasing a name, but USA is known for controlling its budgets and for believing that TV shows make stars, not the other way around. So when she met with her staff on a July morning, the day after the Emmy nominations were announced,
now we have to figure out what we do next.
Hammer kept the focus on doing better among the relatively young demographic that advertisers pursue. Not on getting buzz, but on improving the ratings.
We do extraordinarily well, but that's definitely kind of the target for the next couple of series. What will be our Mad Men but with ratings?
Jackie DeCrinis, who's responsible for developing original series, has an idea.
Men will watch romance, you know, if there's frontal nudity. I think that's totally appropriate.
Let's put that on the list or something to at least look at. But no, seriously, whether it's sexier, a little darker, which Jeff knows, I'm the one to say, not dark, but edgier. Not sure.
The meeting turns to Royal Pains, a show in development about a doctor to the rich in the Hamptons.
Where's the edge, or where's the sex, or where's the...
Well, I think that will ultimately come from the stories we choose to tell. Because it's the rich and famous of the Hamptons, she could be a beautiful, sexy model in a compromised position that might have a medical story behind it.
That may not sound quite like Mad Men, but Hammer makes it clear to her staff. USA isn't putting prestige ahead of ratings.
It would seem that because we have the level of success that we have, that we could take the risk and afford the critical acclaim piece and the one rating. We can't.
When USA has a flop, she says, the network won't get credit for taking a risk.
Frankly, I don't want to be here when we have our first failure because I'm enjoying the ride of the success.
Which might mean that USA treads with some caution in a pair of cute but sensible shoes instead of those flashy, pricey, impractical Manolo Blahniks. Kim Masters, NPR News.
One of India's largest conglomerates has been making headlines in the United States because of its reported plans to set up a new movie venture with Steven Spielberg. The company is called Reliance. It's based in Mumbai, formerly known as Bombay. Its million-dollar investment in a new movie-making venture with Spielberg has not been confirmed, as NPR's Asma Khalid reports. The Indian company is already slipping into U.S. cinemas.
Two tickets for Ready, 7:15 show, please.
Two for Jane, two
for... Hi, can I get two for Love?
Story. We're at the movies in Edison, New Jersey. The smell of buttery popcorn fills the air. But the concession stand at Movie City 8 also sells lassis, an Indian yogurt drink, and samosas, a fried dumpling snack. And while half the movies at this multiplex come from Hollywood, the other half come from Bollywood. That's India's multi-billion dollar film industry. Tonight, one of the big hits is Love Story 2050. Like most Bollywood movies, boy meets girl. They fall in love, sing, dance. This movie is distributed by the Indian media company Reliance. Reliance also operates this multiplex. Over the last year, Reliance has acquired more than 200 screens across the U.S., mostly in cities with large South Asian populations. And it bought a majority stake in a U.S. cinema company called Phoenix to manage the operations.
Business has been great.
Phil Zaccaretti is CEO of Phoenix.
At some of the theaters that were playing the Indian films, they can outgross the top Hollywood product of that week 2 to 3 to 4 times.
That's despite higher prices theaters charge for Indian movies.
The loyalty is just phenomenal. We see people driving 40 to 50 miles to come see these films.
Enjoy your movie.
At Edison's Movie City 8, the air conditioning's not working. That's typical of the rundown mom-and-pop theaters that show Indian films. But Reliance plans to spend $1 million on new seats, new carpeting, new bathrooms, a new projector, and hopefully working air conditioning. It's planning similar upgrades at other theaters, but the goal's not just to improve the Indian movie-going experience. Reliance is building up a chain of cinemas to distribute its own films.
We realize that U.S. is a very big and key market for cinema from India, and we found that the Indian cinema suffered because of lack of good theaters.
That's Uday Kumar. He runs Reliance's movie investments here. He admits this is an experiment, but Patrick Frater, Asia editor at the entertainment publication Variety, is skeptical the company can find appeal outside immigrant communities.
Indian cinema industry has been talking about the day that the Bollywood industry will cross over into mainstream globally. For years and years, and it hasn't happened.
He thinks Reliance's foray into the U.S. isn't really about making money. It's more about going global, something many of India's top corporations are trying to do now.
They want to learn the U.S. market from the inside. It's much easier to do that if you're actually running a business, rather than looking in from the outside and saying, I think that's how it works.
Uday Kumar doesn't deny that.
The focus of the group is now to make this business a global business rather than just an India-centric business.
Acquiring a couple hundred rundown movie screens might seem like a minor move, but Reliance is also reportedly investing in a new movie venture with Steven Spielberg, and the company struck agreements with production houses run by top U.S. actors like George Clooney. It's all part of a multi-pronged approach to becoming a more prominent player in the global movie industry. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
It's 5 minutes before 3 o'clock. Ed Kieser's forecast for Illinois and Indiana this afternoon, partly to mostly sunny, highs ranging between 82 and 87. Currently 79 degrees in Urbana.
Earth and sky.
In our first for the U.S., shipping lanes have been moved to avoid collisions with whales. David Wiley of the Stellwagen Beck National Marine Sanctuary near Boston Harbor led the science to protect whales from the nearly 5,000 ship transits each year.
Our sanctuary is one of the most heavily used areas in the country for large endangered whales. It also is extremely heavily used for commercial shipping traffic. So you put those things together, and there's a recipe for accidents and collisions to occur.
Wiley used hundreds of thousands of sightings over about 20 years to pin down where and when whales are likely to cross the path of ships. And in mid-2007, about 15 minutes were added to ship routes through the sanctuary, reducing the risk of a collision between ships and all whales in the area by about 81%, according to Wiley.
Our task was to find ways to not limit human activity unnecessarily, but limit it in ways that could certainly have a great conservation bang for the dollar. And that's exactly what we did by moving the shipping lanes.
Wiley said this research into preventing whale strikes can be used beyond the sanctuary near Boston Harbor.
Really, to have right whales survive, these types of activities are going to have to occur all up and down the eastern seaboard, not just in this one isolated case.
Our thanks today to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
WILL programs are made possible by Community Concierge Magazine, telling Champaign-Urbana's story to new residents and old. Every issue includes an event calendar, attractions, and maps, as well as a business and shopping guide. Community Concierge Magazine is distributed 4 times a year throughout East Central Illinois.